It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us.
This week, we continue the series, Are Lesbians and Homosexuals Demon-Possessed? We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Allison Krauss with I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today
is always shining.
there no tear will dim the eye at the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
I'm telling you, friends, it's worse than it was in the days of Lot. It's worse than it was, if that's possible, in the days of Noah. And you'll find out just how bad with this tape. Next, you'll hear the voice of Dr. Innes and just a little bit of what went on at that church.
Dear friend, my name is David Innes. I'm pastor of the Hamilton Square Baptist Church of San Francisco. And I'm making this introductory part of the tape from the pulpit of the auditorium here in the Hamilton Square Baptist Church, the very pulpit microphones from which the sounds you are about to hear were recorded. The event took place on Sunday night, September the 19th at 6 o'clock p.m. at our evening worship service. Our church was literally stormed by a rioting mob of homosexuals and lesbians. The sounds you are going to hear were heard right here in the auditorium and terrified those who were in attendance. A dear blind woman, an elderly blind woman, sat only about 15 feet away from the doors where this pounding took place. Children began to cry. It was extremely traumatic. Hear these sounds for yourself as the homosexuals and lesbians are literally seeking to pound and ram the doors down to invade and take over a worship service of a church, a Bible-believing church, here in San Francisco, United States of America. The segment of the tape was taken from the actual recording of the Sunday night service, as I've said, here in the auditorium. And so now listen, please, to what happens to a church that dares to select its own speakers without consulting the homosexual lesbian community of San Francisco. Listen carefully, and then I urge you, take appropriate action. And then going on up to Canada and somebody tell the police they're over on the other side. Just let the police know and we'll be taking care of it. Big Tom. Jerry, just lock it. Just hold it. Don't, no, Jerry, no! No. Jerry, just leave it alone. Now, folks, if you think this is a show, you should have been at the school board meeting about 5 years ago when they put through Project 10. This is nothing compared to that. Okay. Now you see what your preacher's been going to? And when I see this, I say somebody had better stand up to it. And if we don't stand up to this, folks, it's going all through the country. And I've told you they're going to be at the front door of the church. And they are. They're here today. And this is why the average preacher won't get involved in controversy, won't take a stand, and it's an utter capitulation that's taking place in our country today.
Well, friends, that was what happened at Hamilton Square Baptist Church. And there was much more than what was on this very brief bit of tape. You see, the writers assumed complete control of the property outside in the grounds of the church. The officers in charge of the police would not do one single thing but watch as much of the property was debased and destroyed. They also grabbed people's bodies and threw people around and shoved people and spat on people and scratched people. Oh, my friends, people were pelted by rocks, which also struck the window panes. Did you know that the homosexual writers actually removed the Christian flag from the flagpole and attached the gay flag under the U.S. flag? You know, Bill Clinton has received much praise from homosexuals and lesbians. Now, according to the November 14th, 1992 issue of the San Francisco Chronicle, there was a report headlined, "Victorious Mood at Opening of Gay Lesbian Conference." Now, I'd like to quote from that story in the San Francisco Chronicle. Here's what it said, quote, "In a celebratory mood after last week's election of Bill Clinton to the presidency, 1,200 lesbian and gay men gathered yesterday for what one person called the liveliest, wildest, timeliest national gay and lesbian conference in our history. The 5th annual Creating Change Conference was held at the Los Angeles Airport Hilton Hotel and was sponsored by the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force." It says, and I continue here, quote, "Hervé Chevade, the task force's executive director, brought cheers from the crowd when she said that in 1992, we have broken through the consciousness of the country." Now, Vade read a letter from Bill Clinton. That's right, a letter from Bill Clinton, in which the president-elect praised the hard work of gay rights advocates. Now, here's, my friends, this is just so sad and so despicable. Here's what Bill Clinton is quoted as saying in his letter to this gay and lesbian group. Bill Clinton wrote them and he said, quote, "Without your support, our victory on November 3rd would not have been possible." Bill Clinton told the lesbians and the homosexuals across America through this conference, "Without your support, my victory in winning the presidency would not have been possible." He gives credit then to the 1% of Americans who are sexual perverts. I suppose that Bill Clinton has never read Isaiah 5, verse 20, where God says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Bill Clinton is an evildoer and a deceiver, and so are his friends who are demon-possessed lesbians and homosexual throughout America. Now, I'm going to read to you now something that is so absolutely strikingly malignant and repugnant and evil, it scarcely is imaginable, but it's true. This is an article written by a man named Michael Swift, a gay man. He calls himself, in fact, a gay revolutionary. In this article that was published in the Gay Community News, February 15th through 21st issue, 1987. Now, friends, that's about 7 years ago. Imagine what these perverts and reprobates have done in the last 7 years to our kids. Now, this article that I'm going to read to you outlines, written, of course, by a homosexual activist, it outlines the goals, the true goals and hidden agenda of the homosexual movement. Now, I suppose that Mr. Swift didn't realize that this would get out to the Christians and to the non-perverts. But it was. It did get out. Now, this was reprinted in the Congressional Record, so we have at least one moral congressman trying to get out the truth. It was also printed in the American Family Association publication put out by my good friend Don Wildman, who's president of the AFA, which is headquartered in Tupelo, Mississippi. Now, I'm going to read from you. This is the actual article published by a very popular gay community newspaper. And I'm telling you, friends, listen up. I've let you listen now to just a little bit of that tape of what happened at the Hamilton Square Baptist Church. You say, well, that must have been just one incident. Surely, across the United States, I mean, wicked people like this cannot exist everywhere in the gay community. Oh, yes, they can. Read with me now. Listen to what Michael Swift had to say, this gay revolutionary, and I'm quoting from him. He says this, and by the way, he addresses this, although it was in a gay newspaper, he addresses his article, his statements, to traditional families. Are you a parent, a grandparent? Listen up. These perverts are writing to you. Here's what they say. Quote, "We shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies. We," that is the homosexuals, "shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses, in your truck stops, in your all-male clubs, in your houses of Congress, wherever men are with men together, your sons shall become our minions and shall do our bidding. They will be recast in our image. They will come to crave and adore us," writes Michael Swift. Michael Swift continues. He says, "Women, you cry for freedom. You say you are no longer satisfied with men. They make you unhappy. We, connoisseurs of the masculine face, the masculine physique, shall take your men from you then. We will amuse them. We will instruct them. We will embrace them when they weep. Women, you say you wish to live with each other instead of with men? Then go and be with each other. We shall give your men pleasures they have never known, because we are foremost men too. And only one man knows how to truly please another man. Only one man," writes Michael Swift, "can understand the depth and feeling the mind and body of another man." Michael Swift, this gay revolutionary, continues his article. He writes, quote, "All laws banning homosexual activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men." He continues, "All homosexuals must stand together as brothers. We must be united artistically, philosophically, socially, politically, and financially. We will triumph only when we present a common face to the vicious heterosexual enemy. Michael Swift continues. He writes a warning. He writes, if you dare to cry faggot, fairy, queer at us, we will stab you in your cowardly hearts and defile your dead, puny bodies. Michael Swift continues. He says, quote, we shall write poems of the love between men. We shall stage plays in which man openly caresses man. We shall make films about the love between heroic men, which will replace the cheap, superficial, sentimental, insipid, juvenile, heterosexual infatuations presently dominating your cinema screens. Well, he goes on and on, my friends. This is absolutely incredible. He says the family unit will be abolished. The family unit must be eliminated. Perfect boys will be conceived and grown in a genetic laboratory. He says they will be bonded together in communal setting under the control and instruction of homosexual savants. He says all churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only gods, writes Michael Swift, are handsome young men. We adhere to a cult of beauty, moral and aesthetic. All that is ugly and vulgar and banal will be annihilated. He says, since we are unalienated from middle-class heterosexual conventions, we are free to live our lives according to the dictates of the pure imagination. For us, too much is not enough. He says, the exquisite society to emerge will be governed by an elite comprised of gay poets. He finally says, we shall be victorious. And he says, tremble, hetero swine, when we appear before you without our masks.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.